parable of the sower. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him, and he got into a boat and sat there. While the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds all on a path. And the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, when they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some of hundredfold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear." Explained, the parable explained. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and then trouble or persecution arises on account of the word. That person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, it is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth chokes the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, it is the one who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. This is the word of the Lord.
Merciful God, we are so blessed and so grateful for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for forgiveness of sins that we again received this morning through your Son, Jesus. We are grateful for the opportunity to come together as your people. I pray that you will bless those who are now hearing this message, that your Spirit will indeed prepare their hearts to be good soil, to receive your word. And we say and mean this all in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I'm sure that everyone here has heard of the Nobel Prizes, right? They are the ultimate lofty awards given each year to the world's most brilliant minds in physics, chemistry, medicine, economics. There's also the Nobel Peace Prize that some really strive for. But, you know, massive social status, immense honor. But have you ever heard of the Ig Nobel Prizes? Anybody? As the word ignoble suggests, these awards are a bit less prestigious, okay? In fact, they are given for real scientific research that makes people laugh and then think. And when the winners accept these awards, the audience literally throws paper planes at them. So according to the Washington Post, Ig Nobel Prizes have been awarded to scientists who dedicated time and funding to answer questions like, how quickly do human fingernails grow? One researcher, William Bean, tracked his own nail growth for 35 years just to find out it slows down as you get older, right? As you age. Which kind of pizza does a wild lizard prefer? A study in Togo confirmed that rainbow lizards have a bold and unapologetic love for four cheese pizzas. Okay? By the way, does painting a cow to look like a zebra keep flies away? That last one sounds a little ridiculous, right? But believe it or not, painting zebra stripes on normal cows actually provided a highly effective way to defend livestock from biting insects without using a single pesticide. And when the researcher accepted his award, he stripped off his jacket to reveal a zebra-striped shirt, and the crowd just went wild. So these studies, I mean, make us chuckle, but they also force us to look at the world a little differently. They make us dig beneath the surface, so to speak. So long before the Ig Nobel Prizes, Jesus stood by the Sea of Galilee and presented his own research project. The crowds pressing in on him were so massive that he had to step into a boat, a fishing boat, using the water as a natural amphitheater while the people stood on the beach. And what did he talk about? Well, Matthew says in verse 3, and he told them many things in parables. And these stories, or parables, do more than communicate information, okay? They engage people, sometimes delight and move them, and always force them to dig beneath the surface to understand what is really being said. But he didn't talk about the growth of fingernails or lizard diets. He talked about the growth of seed. And what type of soil leads to a great harvest? So if Jesus was submitting a title for an academic paper, it might be links between soil, good fruit, and massive yields. And listen, says Jesus, listen. A sower went out to sow. Now, if you were a first century farmer standing on that beach that day, you might have started laughing at the sower in Jesus' story. Why? Because this sower looks incredibly reckless, okay? He throws seed right onto the hard and packed walking path where the birds immediately swoop down and gobble it up. He throws seed onto shallow and rocky ground. And the seeds spring up fast, but the moment the noon sun beats down, they scorch and wither because they have no depth. Good morning. And then he throws seed right into the middle of thorn bushes, which inevitably grow up and choke the life out of the young plants. So any sensible farmer would tell this guy, stop wasting your inventory. Watch where you're throwing all of that. But this sower, I mean, doesn't seem to care about efficiency. He just keeps moving, throwing seed left, right, up, down. But then some good seed also hits the good soil. And voila, I mean, it brings forth grain, it says, in unimaginable quantities, 30, 60, even 100 times of what was planted. And so this brings us to our first major realization. And that is, what does this story tell us about the character of the sower. What does it tell us about Jesus, in other words? Jesus is not cautious about where he invests his time, or his love, or his grace. Our Savior is beautifully and wonderfully extravagant. He throws good seed, the good seed of his kingdom, everywhere, on everyone, completely unconcerned with worldly success or efficiency metrics. Think about his actual ministry just for a moment. Jesus sowed the word of God into religious leaders who called him evil. He sowed it into a wealthy young ruler who walked away because he couldn't part with his money. He sowed it into his own disciples who constantly misunderstood him and argued about, you know, who was the greatest, and eventually ran away when things got tough. Jesus gives away unconditional love and unlimited grace, knowing full well that a lot of it will be rejected or ignored or choked out. And so listen, this is really our blueprint for ministry, our blueprint for who we are as Christ followers. As followers of Jesus, we are called to imitate the sower. We shouldn't be overly cautious, you know, trying to guess, well, who is worthy of God's love? Or who is ready to hear the gospel? Our job is just to throw the seed of kindness, the seed of welcome and grace everywhere we go, trusting that God is in charge of the results. But then Jesus shifts the focus from the sower to the soil. And he explains that the different terrains represent our hearts when we encounter the Word of God. So the path, you know, the path represents a heart that hears, right, but doesn't understand, allowing the enemy to snatch the truth away before it even settles. The rocky ground, that's someone who, well, receives the word with immediate joy, but there's no deep roots. The second trouble or persecution hits, they just fall away. The thorny soil, well, that's a heart where the word is completely choked out by the anxieties of this age or the lure of wealth or material possessions. And then there is the good soil, right? The soil that actually produces fruit. And Jesus challenges us to be good soil, to be the people who hear the word and understand the word, and then to bear fruit because of the word. But here's the catch. I mean, physically speaking, soil is completely passive. I mean, a patch of dirt can't wake up in the morning and decide, okay, today I think I'll stop being rocky and become good soil. Because it just sits there, right? So what is Jesus actually asking us to do? I think the answer is found in his very first word in verse 3. He says, listen. Listen. Listening is where our passivity ends and our active discipleship begins. So to be good soil means to intentionally position our hearts to listen to the word of the kingdom. It means slowing down enough to let it take deep root rather than letting the anxieties of life or the chase of wealth or whatever else crowd it out. And by the way, what does fruit look like? So when we truly listen, I think we stop trying to control the kingdom. And we realize that the growth doesn't depend on our striving. It depends on the power of God. Our job is simply to let His truth change us from the inside out so that we can bear fruit. And what does that fruit look like? Well, it doesn't look like worldly power. It doesn't look like fame or material wealth. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in Galatians 5, the fruit is actually the fruit of the Spirit. And it is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when we look at our lives and, you know, our conversations at home or our habits at work or our posts on social media, I think we have to ask ourselves, are we producing fruit or are we producing thorns? Fruit or thorns? Do our words, you know, bring peace or do they stir up discord? Do our actions advance reconciliation or do they widen divisions? Tomorrow morning, and are you going to walk out into a world filled with hard paths and rocky situations and suffocating thorns, by the way? But remember, I mean, you serve a sower who has already gone before you, wildly scattering His grace everywhere. So let's do the work of being good dirt. Let's quiet the noise of this age and open our hearts, open our minds, and just listen. Listen to the Word of God. Because a massive harvest is guaranteed by the power of God. Let's make sure our hearts are ready to receive it. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we do live in a world that is so full of noise and so full of distractions, and there's so many things that drown out Your word and drown out Your message. May we truly quiet our hearts and our lives to be the kind of soil that receives the seed of Your word. May Your Spirit cultivate that word in our lives, and may it grow and produce the fruit that Paul talks about. Our world does not need more division and more hatred and more violence and all of that. Our world needs reconciliation and love and acceptance and peace. And may we be the kind of fruit that scatters Your love, scatters Your grace everywhere. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.